Hi, I'm Hannah.
Hi, I'm Rochelle, and this is BoxBox F1 Pod. Today, we're going to be debriefing the Qatar Grand Prix, but first, it's time for a digital warm-up.
Do-to-do. We found out Qatar is going to host the World Cup next year in 2022. Well, I did. I don't know if you knew that.
I knew the World Cup was next year. I didn't know it was going to be in Qatar, so thank God for this promotion.
Yes, now everyone knows where it is and what to expect. But
I couldn't tell if they were promoing Qatar or the World Cup. It was like weird.
It was a double promotion.
Got it.
But relatedly, football stars descended on Qatar. So interestingly, David Beckham was the guest of McLaren.
I feel like everyone assumed he'd be a guest of Red Bull because Spice Girls.
Right. A box told us that Zac Brown showed David Beckham his Monza tattoo.
Okay, I have to find, I tried finding it. If you guys have seen the clip, I need to see it.
We must have this content because I just need Zac Brown showing David Beckham a tattoo of a phallic
track
outline and then David being like, cool man.
his reaction is 100% gonna be like, oh, the briefest flash of like, what the fuck is that, and then like
very
composure.
Nice.
yes
lovely.
I love that Zach saw the most tattooed man on the planet. It was like, I must show him this single etching of a track on my arm. Christian also went obviously and had a chat with Christian Horner, who they called Bex in the Red Bull Instagram post, which sounds gross.
Yeah, sounds like Becky.
Yeah, not my favorite. Just call him David.
Or Beckham.
Or Beckham. Or
bend
David
it like Beckham.
Beckham. Yep. I made that joke in my poem.
Oh, good.
Can't
wait.
I know. Another weird thing is that George Lucas was here again.
God.
We saw him first in Austin, and apparently he loves F1 so much, he's willing to go all the way to Qatar.
And after, like, Lewis did his podium interview, and the other people were interviewing, they gave us a shot of Lewis talking to George Lucas, and the commentators were like, Lewis is just debriefing George right now. I'm like, why does George need to be debriefed?
So here's what happened, George. I won. The end.
Put me in your next trilogy.
Has George Lucas even made a film? And I swear he's done nothing. I think his name is just on the...
No, obviously he stopped writing and he's just been following F1 full time.
That is truly what happened. Another rando was Adriana Lima.
Love her, but I haven't seen her in a decade.
I know. Ever since Victoria Fashion Show became not a thing anymore, she's just been AWOL. She's also Brazilian. Why wasn't she in Brazil?
No idea. There were so many randos in Qatar.
Yeah, it was bonkers.
Like, all these celebrities, but also the fans. It was just Lewis and Max hardcore fans. Or at least that's what the camera showed.
But they were getting along. They were like...
Oh, yeah. Everyone was super enthusiastic and positive.
It felt like almost like war propaganda.
Yes.
You can't be friends.
They felt like plants in the audience.
Yeah. They were actors. There's no such thing as a Lewis and Max friendship. The only other exciting thing was that Pierre Gasly's girlfriend made her paddock debut.
Can you pronounce her name?
Okay, she's Spanish, but it sounds Russian. I assume it's like Katerina Brezhnya? Brezhnya?
Oh, that's Brezhnya? Nice.
Don't know.
Yeah.
But she's Spanish, and
gorgeous.
They... Very beautiful.
Obviously.
Sun does that to a person. I think living in Seattle has... I will never
ruined
look like
you.
That. Yes, we'll never have that glow.
Yeah, I'm pretty much ruined for 6 months of the year, but whatever.
Yeah, yours is worse for 6 months.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting the process because they went Instagram official before they went paddock official. So I guess paddock is like a new step, another step.
That makes sense, though.
Does it?
If you bring someone to the paddock and you're a driver, you're not really with them. So you're kind of trusting that person to be normal or and like almost representing you off track in a yes. certain way. Like you're yes. their guest.
Yes. And they have to like you enough to like spend 3 days alone, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So amazing. Proud of them for making this milestone.
Yes, same. I hope they last forever.
Your note
ever.
Says she is Spanish and in business school.
Those were the two facts that I could find from her amazing, Instagram bio.
Amazing research.
Thank you. All right. I guess that concludes our digital warm-up.
Do-do-do. Time for the racing rhyme.
Alrighty, here I go. Fun fact. Today's race brought the biggest crowd to a sporting event in Qatar's history. Okay, the F1's commentator's obsession with obscure facts remain a mystery. Lewis is on pole, followed by Max and Bottas. So yeah, quali was pretty boring. Until Max and Valtteri got grid penalties for the yellow flags they were ignoring. Which means the starting grid sees Lewis and Alonso, and in P3's Pierre Gasly. Excited for them, though the consequences to the championship could be ghastly. But it isn't long until Max finds his way to P2. Sadly, it seems like that's the best he could do. By the way, to the delight of no one, Mattia is back. And so is his midlife crisis buddy, Zach. As we predicted, Zach's daddy energy pushes Lando to fourth, but a puncture sets him back, so what's Zach's presence even worth? JK, we love Zach. We blame Pirelli for the punctures galore. Half the grid suffered, but of course, it's Valtteri's race that's done for. Anyways, the race ended with Lewis first and Max second. It's a bit humdrum, but P3 for Alonso means, despite his old age, he can still bend it like Beckham. Thanks. Yep. Yep.
That was a good one. I mean, they all are, but love bend it like Beckham, Gasly and Gasly.
To toot my own horn, I used Rhyme Zone the least for this poem.
Whoa.
These were all my own rhymes. Toot.
Very good, very Thanks. Good.
All right, moving on.
Okay, on to analysis. So, quali, not super interesting, except for the fact that in Q3... Lewis came out first for like the last part of it to obviously try to get like the fastest lap time. Good thing he did so because like towards the end, Pierre got a tire puncture from going off the track because apparently the Qatar track is deadly for cars. So this was a foreshadowing of today, but yeah, just Pierre had the most notable puncture that caused debris. And that brought out the yellow flags. And so Lewis was able to get the fastest lap time. But everyone who was like on the track in the middle of their laps with Pierre were affected by this. So like obviously Max and like Checo and stuff. It also led to bad penalties.
Yeah, because apparently both Bottas and Max ignored the yellow flag. So they both got grid penalties for it. Lots of conspiracy theories began to emerge, and there was debate whether it was obvious or not, whether the FIA intentionally removed the flags before Max could see them. BS, most likely, but people were hotly debating them.
I don't know what happened, but I do think it's strange that Max, Valtteri, and, well, Carlos got off scot-free, but he was summoned, but, like, that Max and Valtteri just would straight up ignore yellow flags. Like, I don't think they would do that. So I do feel like there was some miscommunication. I don't know what, though.
Yeah, it's weird.
But to your point about the FIA, like, removing the flag so they couldn't see it, I don't know about that. I think the FIA is just incompetent sometimes. I think it was an inadvertent miscommunication.
Yeah, that's most likely what happened. And Christian actually, I will talk about it in a bit, but Christian has gotten in trouble for his conspiracy theories regarding this issue. But anyway, because of this, Max received a 5 grid penalty. Valtteri got a 3-place grid penalty. So Max's was more severe because he ignored a double flag, and Valtteri only ignored 1 flag. Yeah. And I guess you can't give a 2.5 grid penalty, so he
no,
lost
3 spots.
No, you cannot.
You can't be in the middle of 2 people.
Nope. So in the end, first was, again, Lewis, and then Gasly, and then Alonso, Fernando, woo, and then Norris, and then Sainz, and then Bottas, and then Max. And then yada yada.
Incredibly unexpected starting grid. Yes. Other than Lewis, like, well, I mean, Pierre's been doing well, but I mean, to start on the front row with Lewis and then Fernando, you kind of called it.
I did. Oh, yeah, I did. I totally did. I said he would overtake, and he did.
I guess in our last episode, you explicitly said, this is not a prediction in any way. But it ended up being a good prediction.
Yeah,
he's go the me. Overtake king.
He is. All the old ones, all three of the old ones have the most overtakes of this
season. Yeah, Seb and Kimmy as well.
Yeah. Again, we keep saying that, but Seb is younger than Lewis.
He gets grouped in because they all hang around the same part of the track. He is in the retirement center a little too early, but he's there. He was admitted.
My grandmother's retirement home has a man who literally looks like 32. I think he's in his 50s. He's like sprightly AF. He's like jumping up the stairs and we're like, why are you here?
I mean, if you're in a retirement center in your 50s, you might as well be 30.
Yeah. We love these fun facts that they keep throwing out. But this was Gasly's first time on the starting grid in top two.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So all the other times, he like really worked for it. And turns out...
I used to call him the comeback king.
Yeah, well, now he's the come down king.
he's doing his best out there.
Yeah, did not go well for him today, though. So anyway, I guess on to the race.
On to the race.
Okay, so the first 10 laps, we were expecting a very exciting first turn, but it wasn't as exciting, but still Max made up three spots, so he's now in fourth until lap three when he overtook Gasly. And right after he overtakes him, and that he overtook Alonso, so by lap five, Max is second. And immediately, the second Max is, like, visible in Lewis's rearview mirror, he gets on the radio and he's like, where's Valtteri? Where'd he go? At which point, Toto phones Valtteri and says, come on, Bottas, get those cars.
This is better than they were in Brazil, but Toto apparently had time to compose himself.
Yes.
But you could feel the seething anger beneath the surface. It has not surfaced, though, and it did not today.
No, he remained relatively... It was pretty boring. It was relatively calm. The biggest contention, though, at least for me, I was watching, I was like, what is going on, was when Max overtook Pierre, because it was so weird. So Max got on the radio in lap three, said he was a bit stuck, and the commentators literally joked, was that a message for Red Bull or AlphaTauri? 2 minutes later, AlphaTauri engineer gets on the phone to Pierre and goes, Max is not your race. And then it literally looked like Gasly just moved to the side.
Yeah.
And Max just zoomed on by.
Well, and he kind of should.
Should he?
That was not... Yeah, he's the sister team.
Yeah. Well, I was about to say that we've never heard Mercedes tell Williams to move aside, but they've never been in a position to
move aside. Yeah, like... Okay, also with the context that, honestly, AlphaTauri has been screwing Red Bull for the past, like, two races.
That is true.
They got denoted.
Yeah.
Which was awful. And then, obviously, this isn't Pierre's fault, but what happened in quali impacted Max.
Yes.
You gotta move to the side at this point because we've had enough.
Yeah. There was arguments amongst the commentators. Someone just said he ran wide and made an error, and the other one was like, error in giant quotation marks. But like the other guy that genuinely was like, he made a mistake.
Yeah, the other guy's a conspiracy theorist hardcore. Yeah, he's like on Reddit at midnight.
It was just, I mean, it was quite obvious. It's sad. But it was quite obvious that's what happened. I saw a funny tweet where it just showed Christian like running down the paddock, like running to find the AlphaTauri garage to tell them to slow Pierre down. Probably could have just texted them, but anyway. I guess
probably Helmut's job.
What, texting AlphaTauri?
No, Helmut should just walk between the garages.
He is elderly, for real elderly. But yeah, that probably... I feel like he doesn't... I feel like in an ideal world, he's situated in a way where both garages can see him. And all he has to do is just look over.
Exactly.
And, like, make a motion, and they know exactly what to do. That's how I imagine him.
Me too. The puppet master of them all.
Yes, he is. All right. So a bit about strategies and, like, the tire issues that ensued. First of all, there were some assumptions going into the race. First of all, everyone thought it'd be difficult to overtake. Turns out that's incredibly false. People overtook left and right. The second assumption was that this was a one-stop strategy. Later, we found out that Pirelli had actually warned everyone that this is not a one-stop strategy. It is actually a two-stop strategy. Sounds like the teams literally just chose to ignore them.
Yeah, Pirelli apparently said that the tires should be able to last 30 laps, and it was like a 52 or 57 lap race.
Yeah.
Something like that.
But I also don't, I think they said that they shouldn't necessarily last the full, like, they should change them before, like, they don't need
to. Yes. So if you change it before 30 laps, then it becomes a two stop race. But I think there is confusion because they said it could last 30 laps, which in theory means you can make it to 57 with one stop. But I think Valtteri was the one who tried that out.
Well, he was the first. He got punctured at 34, lap 34.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, in terms of punctures, Qatar, their circuit. Okay, so, like, I guess there's the first set of curbs or, like, the layer where it's low.
Yeah.
But then there's, like, a second layer of curbs that's, I don't know what the word is, ridgy, crazy, where your tire can't drive over them. And so it creates a lot of damage and punctures.
The way they're describing it, I'm imagining it, you know, like, when you're coming out of a garage, like, if you go in the reverse direction into the parking garage, there's, like, a bunch of spikes sticking up because you're not allowed to enter that way.
Yeah.
That's what I'm imagining, because it was really bizarre. But also, Pirelli said they can't be sure it was just, like, they have to investigate further. It wasn't just the fact that this was, it was so ridgy. I think it might have been a combination of taking the tires too far without planning for a two-stop strategy, combined with the, I don't know. They weren't exploding, though, so.
Look on the bright side.
Yep. Another bright side is that pit stops were almost all below 3 seconds.
Yes.
They were so good. There was a good zoom in on David Beckham when they did Lando's stop at, like, 2.3, and he just went,
but the sad part about that one, though, was that Lando had a puncture, and he was in, like, P4, and he had a puncture and came in, so he dropped really low, like, to 11 or 10, because getting in there was difficult.
Right.
So that, like, it was impressive to be sub 3, but that was the pit stop that cemented his demise.
Yes. Other than that, Checo had a great day. He fought his way from P11 to P4, which is always impressive.
Yeah, so the most exciting part of this race was the battle for, like, third, because Lewis from the start took the lead and stayed there, and then Max, like, pretty quickly moved up to P2 and stayed there.
Yeah, at one point, Max literally said on the radio, he's like, obviously, this is as good as it's going to get, so let's have some fun. I don't know what that meant specifically. Like, have fun how? But he, like, had, it was, like, halfway through, he had already, like, understood that that's as good as it's going to get. So.
Yeah. So, obviously, with Checo making his way from, like, P11 up the grid, he was, like, a looming presence. But Alonso and, like, Lando were kind of in, like, P3, P4, and Ocon at a certain point was, like, blocking Checo. And I thought it was very cute. Fernando was like, tell Esteban to defend Checo like a lion. And they're like, okay.
And we'll pass it on.
And they did. They were like, Esteban, do not let Checo through. And he's like, okay. But obviously, Checo's a beast, so he overtook him. But I thought it was super adorable. Like, Checo, like, aggressively kind of, like, overtook Esteban. So Esteban went onto the inside, and it honestly looked like he just scooted over for him because he was scared. But then after the overtake, Esteban tried to re-overtake Checo and went, like, side by side with him. And everyone was like, oh my god, he's doing it. But no, he went wide. But they were like, you know, this is like seriously the best he could have done. And like that level of effort shows he like really tried.
Yes. And everyone kept talking about him paying Alonso back.
Yeah.
For Budapest. Also, maybe he was just being nice. Like, they could just defend without having to pay back.
Well, I think it was emotional, though, because that was Esteban's first win in F1. And
he wanted to help him as much as he could.
Alonso did those epic battles with, like, Hamilton.
Yeah, that was great.
He, like, was sweating and crying just to help Esteban win. Okay,
it felt, the way they were talking about it felt more like a cold, like, payback. Like, you know, paying back a favor.
Like, transactional.
Yeah, but it was definitely emotion-driven.
Yeah.
I guess Checo was held back enough because he didn't catch up to Fernando, and Fernando finished third.
Yeah, and it was very cute when Fernando was on the podium. Esteban was, like, running up to him and, like, screaming, like, go, Fernando!
He said he ran a kilometer from the pit lane to catch... Because remember when Esteban won, Fernando also ran and, like, lifted him up. That was so cute. It's very sweet. I'm glad they like each other so much.
Me too.
Also, Alonso would not leave the podium.
Yeah, he was, like, basking in the moment far too long.
Eventually, he, like, this was terrifying. He, like, fit himself through the wires on the podium. Like, his ass was literally, like, held between two wires to hand the bottle of sparkling wine to one of the engineers. He could have come down the stairs and done that.
So, post-race interview, like, the podium interviews, he was, like, just beaming, and then Jenson Button was like, so you're pretty happy, huh? And Fernando's like, fuck, I'm so happy. And the commentators are like, we apologize for the language, he's just elated. But more fun facts from the commentators. Fernando's last podium was in 2014,
which is before Max joined F1.
People were chanting, Fernando, Fernando, which at that point I was like, yeah, I'm sure everyone is happy for Fernando, but I'm like, who is this crowd? Who's here?
they seem to just go with the flow.
Which, okay, like, the other fun fact they threw out is this is the biggest crowd Qatar as a nation has ever seen.
At a sporting event. I'm sure they have other political riots. Yes, events that might draw a bigger crowd. Yeah. But I just, like, they said that like it was the funnest fact on the planet, and I'm like, who was expecting a big crowd in Qatar for sports besides next year, apparently, at the World Cup? Like, how is that fun? Like, at Austin was the biggest crowd in, like, F1 this season. That's a good fun fact.
I have not been following Qatari politics, but I assume they've received new leadership direction to increase sports tourism, because these are two big things.
I also have to say, I was surprised that they were okay with, first, the sparkling wine. I thought for sure they would get, like, sparkling apple juice. And second, that Lewis was allowed to wear his helmet.
But I feel like it's because it's Lewis Hamilton, and if they try to shut that down, it would have caused more backlash.
People suddenly know what they're all about.
Yeah, like, you know how sometimes, like, trying to prevent an issue only, I think it's called the Streisand effect. We're trying to minimize, like, the issue, Barbara? Magnifies it. Oh, yes. It was named after America singer Barbara Streisand, who attempted to suppress the California Coastal Records Project photograph of her residence in Malibu. Which inadvertently drew greater attention to it in 2003.
Hey, I don't know. I told you it was Barbara. That's what Barbara has to do with it.
Well, I didn't know about the Malibu residence. I don't know. I thought maybe it could have been some other Streisand who was a scientist or, like, a political scientist. That would make
logical sense.
Yes, but no. Yes, trying to prevent something makes it worse. And also, Lewis speaks out about a lot of issues, so it's kind of like his thing. So honestly, him doing this very good, but it's also like, yep.
Well, I remember Hungry, they both got backlash. Him and Seb got backlash from the government. So I was surprised that Hungry was more upset than Qatar. But maybe Qatar is just better hiding it.
That makes Hungry look really bad.
Yeah.
They're worse
now than, Qatar seems the place to be.
Yeah, Qatar seems very welcoming.
The weirdest part is as right before they pop the sparkling wine, all of those Qatari officials that had handed out the trophies mm-hmm. were ushered like away like ASAP. Remember when, what's his name, Shaq stood there for like 10 minutes?
Yes. I don't know why they wanted to feature Shaq so prominently for so long in the beating sun, but yes, that was unfortunate.
These guys did not stick around. They were like, see you later. The other weird part was Fernando popped the champagne and literally walked within like close eye range to Max. Like he was literally in his face with the champagne bottle, and Max was just standing there like it was like a splash to the face or something. It was so weird. He like walked with it out like a gun, just directly into his face.
He was so excited.
He was.
It's like he's never seen champagne before. It was like, what do you do? For both Lewis and Max, it was kind of boring because they were in the same spot the whole time. So even after the race, like in their interviews and on the podium, they're just like, good race, best result we could get. And the interviewer's like, how are you feeling? Like, there's only two races left. And they were both like, feeling good.
Yeah, that was weird. Besides Fernando, no one seemed at all happy.
They weren't, like, sad, though. It was more just like, okay, Ben here did that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Right after the race ended, like, on the radio, you know, to Lewis, Toto's just like, good job, Lewis. Let's go to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
That was it.
He barely said good job. He's like, we're going to Saudi Arabia. Like, yeah, okay.
Statement of fact.
I'm still in the car, sir.
Yes, we're still in Qatar. They want us to talk about it here.
Oh my God, car and Qatar rhyme, and I didn't use that in my poem.
Oh man.
What a waste. Well,
just remember that in 2023.
I will.
And the next 10 years after.
I have plenty of time to employ that that rhyme. Oh, the other thing I wanted to say was that Lewis and Max have been calm in general. I think the more riled up the principals get, the calmer the drivers get.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're like, they'll handle it for us, whatever. But, like, they're chill, they're high-fiving, they're smiling. Like, it's all good in the hood.
Yeah, and it's, like, it's seriously been such a long season, and they're so close to the end.
Yeah.
I feel like they've really used all their energy.
I know. They, like, I feel like almost they don't care anymore. They just want it. They care, but they kind of just are ready for it to end.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, either way, they're both going to be fine. I think they've realized that.
Yes. They're okay.
Yeah.
Another thing that happened post-race was that Christian was summoned to the stews for breaching FIA sporting code. The actual wording of the rule is, any words, deeds, or writings that have caused moral injury or loss to the FIA or its executive officers, and more generally on the interest of motorsport. Any misconduct towards license holders, officials, officers, or members of the staff of the FIA, members of the staff of the organizer or promoter, and members of the staff of the competitors.
Are we going to get summoned to the
We've breached this. Hardcore.
We morally injure the FIA on a weekly basis.
To be fair, stews aren't listed here by name, so we really aim it at them. Do they count? I guess they're officials. Well, they are the FIA.
Do you know for what exactly?
So from what the only thing I could find was the rumor is that it's because he said that a rogue marshal has delivered a massive blow to Max Verstappen's championship chances after his driver was handed a grid penalty for the Qatar Grand Prix.
A rogue marshal. I mean, they make decisions as a body, first of all.
Well, maybe the marshal thought he could stop holding the yellow flags, or maybe he wanted to interfere with Max. Like, the implication was, like, he actually wasn't blaming the FIA. He said this one marshal went, like, AWOL and, like, decided
ruined
to fuck
everything.
Max over.
Yeah.
But also, one of the least problematic things Christian has said as a person to anyone on the paddock.
Christian is known for being underhanded and sneaky and, like, not as direct as this, if this is what he said. He doesn't really call people out by name, but he heavily implies who it is, you know?
That's true.
Which gets him out of liabilities.
His sneakiness is very thinly veiled. Like, he's not very good at it.
Yeah. Okay, but. Yeah. Sneaky wasn't exactly the right word. Because very obvious. But, you know, it's like, it's said in a way that's super obvious, yet not explicit.
You can't hold him in the court of law.
He really has a art form.
Yes, it's beautiful. He does it very well.
He could also take a page out of Toto's book. Fuck them all is truly the best way to go, because no one knows exactly what you're saying.
Okay,
and you
wait.
Seem heavily unhinged.
I found Christian's full quote, and now I get it a little more. Okay. I think the race director should have control of the circuit. He's the referee at the end of the day, and otherwise, anybody. You get a marshal that decides to stick a yellow flag out. How does that work? There needs to be some grown-ups making grown-ups decisions. I think it's just a rogue marshal that stuck a flag out and he's not been instructed by the FIA. They've got to have control of their marshals. It's as simple as that, because that's a crucial blow in this world championship for us.
Oh, wow. That was patronizing AF. That was hurtful.
That was, what is it? A moral injury, if I've ever seen one.
He basically said, Michael, get your shit together.
He's not completely wrong.
No, he's correct. But to say it officially?
Yeah, not great, Christian.
The internet lives forever.
I did notice that the Alpine reserve driver, this was his first weekend, they signed a new reserve driver, and they asked him what's different about F1 compared to F2 and F3, and he said, media. which I think he should let Christian know, because there is media everywhere. You can't just say stuff like that. Text it to your wife or something.
But you know what? Maybe he just feels like a big boss now. Okay, but this goes to our theory of when Toto is off the rails, Christian is composed. When Christian is off the rails, Toto is composed. So he was due for some outburst this weekend.
You are correct. Toto was scheduling his flight to Saudi Arabia while Christian was insulting every member of the FIA.
No, seriously? I feel like halfway through the race, Toto's like, I'm done here. Book the next flight out immediately. We're good.
Speaking of positive team principal moments, there was a video of Lauren Stroll hugging Lance with so much affection.
Mm-hmm. Lance did well today.
Yeah, that's why he got a hug from his father.
Jesus.
Except actually, remember when he had that horrible crash and his father was like, you good? Thumbs up.
Yes, I remember that. And that was because Lance produced no results that day. He just got injured.
Yes.
know anything about Lawrence Stroll, it's that he's a results-driven person. If you mm-hmm. deliver for him, he will give you benefits and affection.
Hopefully he's not hugging his employees.
No, he shows his affection by providing them healthcare. It's the best in the world.
Employees get healthcare. Lance gets hugs. Good for them. It was a very cute moment. Let's pretend it happens all the time off camera. All right. I guess the other big thing to discuss is the Constructors' Championship between McLaren and Ferrari, which at this point is not much of a competition anymore.
Wow, what a turn of events. Ferrari, I just have to give them kudos. Like, I think the commentator said something about this. I keep combining their name, but I guess that would be their couple name, right? Carl's? Carl's Jr.
Oh my god.
No, Charles and Carlos are like attached at the hip on track.
Yes, did you see them biking down the track together?
I did not.
Oh, they did their track walk on bikes together. Aww. And they filmed them like racing down the track. They were having little banter back and forth. They're like, I love this corner. And he's like, yeah, you do well in this corner. You do terribly in this corner. It was cute.
Yeah, they're like really good friends. And also just for the past, I don't know how many races, but at least for the last two or three, they've both scored double points, like, next to each other.
Yeah. Oh, literally, yes, you're correct. They're...
Yeah, like, that's what I mean. Like, they've just... Which is what you need to win, yeah, like, third place. Like, you gotta have both drivers score points, and they've been really consistent. Also, we should note, Mattia was back, and all I can conclude is Mattia's presence is inconsequential for Ferrari's performance.
Yep. Well, basically, our theories are just bad.
Yeah.
Zach returning did not make things better for McLaren. Mattia returning did not make things worse for Ferrari.
Yes. But it's just... Lando seriously had such a great shot today. Like, he was, yeah, in P4 basically the whole time until his tire was punctured. And then he ended up in P9. So the last two races, he was in P10. So I guess he improved a little bit, but it's so disappointing. And then again, Daniel's Honey Badger did not come out in the Honey Badger's indigenous country because he ended up in P12. So for like the third race in a row, he did not score a point. But he did explain after the race that he was getting messages from his engineers that he needed to save fuel because, you know, there's that whole fuel minimum regulation like that they test after the race.
Yeah.
So they were like, you need to save fuel. And he was like, okay. And he felt like he was saving a lot. And this was also like not up towards the end. It was kind of in the middle. And he was like saving a lot. And then they're like, more, more. Well, this was from his perspective. I don't know what they actually said. But he was like.
More, more is just like breaking and stopping.
That's- yeah. Well, he said he legitimately questioned why he was even on track today.
Because, oh,
he was just braking left and right. He wasn't able to accelerate. And he was like, how could this be possible if everyone else is going so fast? So.
Yes, the commentator said, well, the Honey Badger is having a terrible day.
I mean, seriously, even starting in quali, because I think he placed in like P14.
Yeah.
So he... And ended the race in P12. Something's wrong.
Wrong, yes. Zach's back. That's what's wrong, apparently.
Ever since Zach got a dick tattoo, everything's gone downhill from there.
You're right, it's tattoo choice. We have a theory for everything, don't worry. One gets proven wrong, we'll come out with another one.
Yes. But that's. I'm glad to see this also because of that conspiracy theory earlier, where Charles was apparently angry at Mattia for favoring Carlos. I guess they resolved it, or Mattia just
was went gone.
MIA. He's like, is someone mad at me? I can't handle this.
he basically resorted to the one thing he's actually good at, which is engineering.
Yes. Everyone on this team knows what their role is now.
Yes. He is not a people
a leader.
No. The one other funny thing that Charles said, though, during post-race interview was that he said his butt was sore, and it's usually, yes, not that sore because of all the bumps, and it just sounded so much like Princess and the Pea. Like, he's like, oh, there's a little bump, and I can feel it. Ow. And then the lady was like, I hope you get your bum sorted. It was just really, yeah, funny.
It was cute.
Yeah, it was cute. Also, not cute, Daniel has grown a mustache.
Yeah, why did he do this? We left Texas weeks ago.
Well, he shaved the side bits and left the top bit, like, completely unnecessarily.
Okay, I'm really anti-mustache, like, in general.
Just, like, a standalone mustache, right? You're okay with the beard?
No, not really, but yes, standalone is worse because it just gives me creepy vibes. No?
Oh, no, 100%. I'm not a fan of the mustache, but I do like a beard, and I think a beard is very important for certain people who, like, don't have chins or, like, have too many chins or...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, like, their makeup.
Beard serves a purpose.
Stash, yeah, does nothing.
Sash does nothing except hold the beard. Holds the beard. Right? Standalone mustache, not good. It honestly gives me pedophile vibes.
Yes.
Agreed. Sorry also, to say.
The only thing it does is warn woman against you. Like, I see that and I'm like, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah. Like, if he had this just in Texas because he was a cowboy, I would be like, fine.
Yes. If it was for a purpose, like, aesthetically.
Yes.
And one time only type thing.
But he's in Qatar. The least cowboy.
Okay. I think we agreed that if you have facial hair, none of it should be standalone. No standalone, what are they called? Sideburns. No standalone.
No standalone unibrow.
Yeah. No, actually, eyebrows should be standalone because if they're not, then it's but just two, the unibrow.
Yeah. Two standalone eyebrows.
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. Anyway, we don't like your facial hair, Daniel. Please shave it.
He can do whatever he wants.
Just score a point.
Maybe oh, yes. Yeah, score a point for the last two races. And
you can have any facial hair you want if you're scoring points.
We'll forgive you for all your sins. Just score 1 point.
Okay. Results.
So, Lewis Max Fernando on the podium. Checo, P4. Then Esteban, P5, which is wonderful. Lance in P6. Carlos, Charles, Lando, and Seb were all in the top 10. And then Gasly ended up in P11, which was quite a drop, and Daniel in P12.
Yeah, poor Pierre. He can only go, like, up an escalator going down. He can't actually go... That's the only time he's actually successful. If he's already up there, he's just going to fall. Driver of the day was officially voted as Fernando Alonso. Unofficially, I think the driver of the day is just old people everywhere. I think they all won today.
It really shows you it's never too late.
What's her name? That girl that asked Fernando?
Oh, yes. What's it like? Why did you come? How would we know her name? She was a child in Qatar.
Okay, sorry.
But yes, she was like, why did you come back after so much bad luck?
This is why. Bitch.
Yes. I think he needed the children's probing existential question to really kick him in the butt and be like, why did I come back?
So it wasn't the grid penalties. It wasn't all the setbacks that led him to P3. It was that child. The whole time he's driving, he just hears this child's voice echoing in his head. Why are you here?
We need our Western children to be a bit more aggressive.
Yes. Maybe we should just be the children. I think we can really kick them into gear.
We wouldn't even need these children if the MC could form good questions to begin with.
Yeah, but the one time he asked the funny question, he and Daniel tried to respond. He's like, I don't know. I don't really care. I'm just asking the question.
The moderator just sees his role as strictly a microphone for children. And, you know, they always say children are the future.
They are.
And certainly for F1 press conferences, we literally are relying on children.
He's actually just outsourced his job to local children. Also, you know why I think that we are exempt from the FIA's regulation about morally abusing their employees is because it's been 23 races and we still don't know this man's name.
if we knew this man's name, his reputation would be destroyed. He's lucky we consider him anonymous.
Exactly. We can't at you because we don't even want to learn your name. It's not worth it.
He is so irrelevant. We didn't bother to check what his name is. Job well done to that man.
Yep. You're too inconsequential to cancel.
That's the goal.
Okay, Dick in the Box. There wasn't really one. I guess Pirelli is the only one I can think of.
I don't know if Qatar intentionally created their curbs to upend tires, but the curbs were so sharp.
I mean, this is what happens when you take a track that's only been used for motorcycles and put F1 cars.
That's the other thing I don't understand. Motorcycles are flimsy.
But the tires aren't they like quite thick?
But they're skinny.
That's true.
Can motorcycles go on curbs?
Evidently, because they put them there, unless their goal is just to destroy every race. If there are any MotoGP fans out there and you would like to explain to us why motorcycles can handle spikes on the road and regular cars cannot, we'd love to know.
If you're a moto head, let us fellow moto heads know.
Okay. Well,
to the standings.
Yeah.
Max is in the lead by 8 points ahead of Lewis, and then it's Valtteri, Checo, Lando, same order. Constructors standings, Mercedes has 546.5 points, which is 5 points ahead of Red Bull. Ferrari is now 39.5 points ahead of McLaren, which is a pretty sizable jump. And then when we left Brazil, Alpine and AlphaTauri were tied, but now Alpine is 25 points ahead. And I'm really happy for them. I think today really was the Alpine show.
Yes, agreed. I do think we should take a moment of silence for Cyril.
Oh, yes. We should be crying eating a baguette.
Everyone, please join us in commemorating Cyril by crying and eating a baguette today.
Never forget.
Never.
Renault walked so Alpine could fly. Like, they've truly done so well this season, given the context, you know? Like, new team, new leadership. Obviously, they had a strategy of having Fernando kind of as, like, a mentor, experienced person, and then, like, trying to help Esteban rise. But that strategy doesn't always produce these amazing results. Like, Esteban won a race. That's crazy.
Yeah. So,
another fun fact was that this season, 13 drivers have podiumed.
How many?
13. So over half.
Wow, it literally feels like it's only Max and Lewis all the time.
It feels like a guest appearance, you know, where it's like literally one weekend. But that speaks to how crazy this season has been.
Yeah, that's crazy. You don't even notice. But yeah, you're right. There's been so many guest stars.
I hope that in Drive to Survive, we get to learn more about the Alpine team principal or other people in leadership, because I literally don't even know.
I did see an interview with him. Yeah, that's
AlphaTauri. Yeah, I literally don't know anyone from Alpine.
I saw an interview with, I think it's the principal at Alpine, and I was so confused because he sounds both English and French at the same time, and I literally could not understand where this man was from. I assume France, but he sounds like English.
I think that concludes the race.
Yep. Next, we are in Saudi Arabia for the Grand Prix in 2 weeks' time. And we should be back next Sunday for the pre-race episode. In the meantime, you can follow us on social, email us, DM us your thoughts. We'd love to know what you think. And also if any of you know about the whole motorcycle wheel thing.
Also the Zach and David Beckham contest.
Yes.
We need it.
That was a good overview of everything we need from you guys. That's your homework.
These are your actions. You're called upon.
Thank you to all our boxes. We love you and we can't wait to see you soon. Okay. Box, box.
Box, box.